Okay, Chevra, good evening. We are learning the halachos of Bishul Akum as they come up in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, correct? And it's very good to have everyone here for an off-site meeting. I appreciate that you're able to make the trek up here. Yashe Kalach, let's learn. So last time we spoke about how there are two basic kulos that are found in the Gemara regarding Bishul Akum. They are Nechal Kamo Shulchai, if it's edible raw, and Olal Shulchan Malachim. These are the two kulos. Now, when it comes to Nechal Kamo Shulchai, we commented from the Ritva that Nechal Kamo Shulchai means that it's Ro'oi La'ochlo Kamo Shulchai. Remember that? A potential nafgamina for this might be as follows. There is a shaila regarding milk. Now, you think I am crazy, but shouldn't all milk be Bishul Akum? Because the milk is pasteurized. And there is no Jew in the milk factory who pasteurizes the milk. So shouldn't all milk be treif? This is a tremendous chumrah, no?
But it depends what you consider cooking.
It depends what you consider cooking. Why would it not be cooking?
Because pasteurization is between 60 and 70 degrees.
So pasteurization is between 60 and 70 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, which is not
right?
Boiling.
Which is... So let's go slowly. Rav Moshe Feinstein for Yayin Mevushal has different shiurim as to how much it has to be cooked to be considered cooked wine, right? And there's Yayin Mevushal of like 190 Fahrenheit. There's Yayin Mevushal of 113 Fahrenheit. And there's Yayin Mevushal of like something around 175. Rav Moshe, right, there's a contradiction in the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe, how Mevushal it has to be. It happens that, with respect to Yayin Mevushal, some poskim assume that whatever is considered Bishul for any halachic purpose is called Mevushal. That would mean 113 Fahrenheit, which we call Yad Soledespo. That would be a super-duper kula. Right? On the other hand, the Tselem Rav assumes, and I think Kedem grape juice now right on the back of it. That's Mevushal according to the Rav of Tselem. And that is around 190 Fahrenheit, which is above 175, for those of you keeping score at home. Now, pasteurization, 60 degrees, 60 to 70 Celsius, is how much Fahrenheit? Math majors? How do you do this? Two-thirds, and then you add 32?
Nine times five plus 32.
So what is it?
140 degrees Fahrenheit, I think.
140 Fahrenheit? So 140 Fahrenheit will kill all of the bacteria. That's pasteurization.
It won't kill all the bacteria.
Enough bacteria that you don't get what raw milk is. So one suggestion is that maybe it's not called Bishul. I don't know if we'd be makel on that, because for Bishul Akum, l'cha'ura, we would be machmir, and even if a guy cooks something to like 113, generally by Yayin Mevushal, the reason why we assume such a high temperature is to be makel that the wine is called cooked. It has to be cooked to a very high temperature. But l'cha'ura, to aser, right, we would aser if a guy cooks it even to a lower temperature. So is there any heter of milk? So let me just give you a few marimakomis over here. The Maharsham in the Tshuva, Chelak Beisim in Reish Samach Beis, Maharsham says that cooked milk is not a problem because the milk is Nechal Kemo Shehu Chai. Now, the Minchas Yitzchak in a Tshuva, which I could probably email you all these sources. It's Chelak Yud Simin Samach Zayin. The Minchas Yitzchak says, Nechal Kamo Shulchai, you must be smoking something. No one eats, no one drinks raw milk anymore. Now, it's actually not completely true anymore. They have like all of these, like, what are they called, crunchy granola people? And they like, hey, is that an official expression? And they drink like raw milk? Is that true?
Probably.
It's the type of thing they would do, right? So the Minchas Yitzchak is assuming that no one in their right mind, I hope I'm not insulting anyone, that no one in their right mind would drink raw milk. So he says he doesn't think there's a kula of Necho Kamo Shulchai. Nira Lafi and the Estati, that based on what we saw in the Ritva, that Necho Kamo Shulchai would still be a kula, no? Because the Ritva writes that if it's Ra'oi La'uchlo Chai, if it could be done, that means it doesn't have to actually be done before, but if it could be done. Could you drink raw milk? Yes. No? Yes. Yes, you could drink raw milk.
Like, what's the bar there? Like, if you drink it and you get sick, or you drink it and you die?
So my guess is...
Wait, could we apply, like, Rashi versus the Rashba, even within the definition, like, the Ritzvahs of Ra... As in, like,
hadchak
versus...
So, nechay dehadchak. So, nechay dehadchak is usually used in terms of the ola o shulchan malachim thing. Maybe something that you could eat ruah with difficulty, is that considered nechal kemoshehu chay? This is actually very relevant, halacha lemaisa. A friend of mine, Aryeh Kolten, he's a Rosh Kolel now in the Chevron Kolel in Geula. He's like Chashov. He grew up in the West Side. The best Aryeh Kolten story is that Aryeh Kolten's father, Olav Shalom, made my parents Shirach, and then my wife made Aryeh Shirach to my wife's roommate. So, like, this is like the for only double generational one that, like, we're aware of, so that's kind of interesting. So Aryeh Kolten was very bothered by how come the OU is makel on cranberries. There's this thing called craisins, which are awesome. We love craisins. Now, craisins are cooked. You take a craisin and you cook it. You take a cranberry and you cook it and you get a craisin. You take a cranberry and you cook it with a ton of sugar. By the way, craisins have like as much sugar as Fruity Pebbles. It's not a joke.
You can get them in apple juice.
No, it is most certainly not.
Craisins are like what craisins and kind bars people think are good for you, and they taste really good. But I'm sorry. Okay, we have to go off tape, right? I'm destroying all the sacred cows of Judaism here. But craisins are actually cooked. They're cooked cranberries with a ton of sugar. That's what a craisin is.
I wonder what cooked cranberries taste like without a ton of sugar. What do they also taste like?
Really, really bitter.
Sour.
So cranberries, when they are raw, taste very bitter. The OU tainas that craisins are not a bishul akum problem. Craisins, by the way, are probably olal shulchan malachim in the sense of we make this salad on yontif with broccoli and craisins. Mm-hmm. No? Mm-hmm. It's served at a yontif meal. It's Ola al Shulchan Malachim. You're confused.
Yeah. I read about the salad. No, I just always assumed that Ola al Shulchan Malachim would be in its raw state. I don't know. I just combined the two, but that was it. Like, it could be cooked and it would still count.
Right, correct. It's cooked. That's the point.
Yeah, okay.
So, are craisins a problem of Bishul Akum? So the OU says that Rav Belsky, Zichrono Levracha, did an investigation in American cookbooks, and he found three popular cookbooks that have recipes for raw cranberries, hence the OU is makel on craisins. What? Because I assume it's Nechal Kamo Shulchai. That is a svara very much against the Minchas Yitzchak. Because the Minchas Yitzchak is saying that milk is not Nechal Kamo Shulchai because people don't do it. I have these three granola crunchy people, whatever they are, who do it. So that's like Butler Daita Eitzel Rov B'nei Adam, no? Most people don't eat raw, don't drink raw milk. And Butler Daita Eitzel Rov B'nei Adam. The OU is assuming, I would assume, that too many assumes in one sentence, but the OU is assuming, like the Ritva, that the Ritva is saying anything that's ra'oi la'ochlo kemo shehu chai, you could eat it raw. So when Rav Belsky looks for recipes, and he finds three recipes of raw cranberries that are eaten, that solves the problem. Good? So in terms of Ola al Shulchan Malachim, the Minchas Yitzchak, let's go back, in terms of milk, right? So the shaila is, how come milk, which is pasteurized, is not a problem of Bishul Akum? So the Minchas Yitzchak does not like the Svara that's Nechal Kamo Shulchai, but the Minchas Yitzchak comes up with a different Svara. His Svara is that the way they pasteurize things in industry is as follows. You have big tankers full of milk, and they shoot steam at these big tankers of milk, right? You know, like the gas tanks when you drive down the New Jersey Turnpike? You see these massive gas tanks? Right? So basically, these factories of milk have tanks about that size with full of milk, and they shoot hot steam at it, which cooks the milk inside that massive container. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, who says cooking with steam is halachically cooking?
Steamed vegetables.
There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch of Me'ushan. Steaming vegetables is cooking with steam, right? Now, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that Me'ushan is not subject to the rules of Bishul Akum. Me'ushan is something that's steamed, say some. Others understand that Me'ushan is something that's cold smoked, not steamed. If Me'ushan is, right, for example, cold smoked is if you take salmon and you want to make it into lox. How do they do it? They take the salmon, they put it in a room that is full of cold smoke. What they do is they burn logs a few hours ago and they just leave it contained in the room, and the cold smoke cures the fish and makes it into lox instead of salmon.
That's
fascinating. How long did it have to be in the room for?
I have never done it. I don't know. I'm sure you could Google it and find an answer. But cold smoking is different than hot smoking. Some poskim assume that Me'ushan, this is actually a question Rabbi Ganak tells the story that when he went to Israel to visit his daughter Shira, who was studying in Mechlala, so he decided, he's the head of the OU, he may as well go to Rebbe Yashiv and, like, see him, because why not? So he goes to Rebbe Yashiv, and Rebbe Yashiv says, come in, and Rebbe Yashiv says, no, what did you come to ask? And Rabbi Ganak is like, I didn't really think of any questions, or something. He hadn't thought of any questions. So he decided to ask Rebbe Yashiv this shaila about whether you could be makel like the opinions that hot steam is also called Me'ushan. It's a Beferish Machlokes in the Mefarshim on the tour there in Yerideya Pezayin, and it's a Machlokes over here in Bishul Akum about whether hot steam is also called Me'ushan, and Me'ushan is not subject to the rules of Bishul Akum, many assume. So if that's the case, you could be makel on anything that is cooked through hot steam, and that is what the Minchas Yitzchak says over here in Chelak Yud Simen Samach Zayin. This is one of the kulas that the OU uses for tuna fish. Now, there's a few issues with tuna fish. Tuna fish is tuna. There's one question with tuna is whether it's kosher because maybe it comes from a tray fish, and we don't know because when we see it, there are no scales on it. And there's no mashgiach on the boat to identify the scales. That's one question. That question comes up in our Masecht on Daf Lamed Tes. But in terms of Bishul Akum, there's a shaila regarding tuna fish that maybe tuna fish should be usher because of Bishul Akum, because tuna is the type of thing you could serve at a fancy meal, no? I've been to fancy meals where they have, like, the fish just lying there. You ever saw that? It's like a chush of a thing, no?
Yeah, the whole fish.
They have like the whole fish lying in state, right on top of, right on the table. You guys think I'm crazy, but it happens, right? So tuna is a big thing. So is tuna subject to Bishul Akum? Well, you could say, well, tuna is Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai. Well, is that true?
Sushi.
Well, there are different types of tuna. There are three main types of tuna. There is skipjack and albacore and what's the third one? Albacore and skipjack and yellow something or another. Yellowfin. No?
Yellowtail.
Yellowtail, thank you. That sounds right. Now, the thing is, not all fish that they put in a can is sushi grade. In fact, none of the fish that they put in a can is sushi grade fish. The sushi grade fish is supposed to be more chashuv. It's a fish it's fresher, it's easier to deal with. The fish that you get in your can is not sushi grade fish. Can we say that tuna is nechal kemoshehu chai?
If it's not sushi grade, it might not be
olal shulchan malachim. If it's not sushi grade, it still can be olal because they give you the whole fish at the table, sometimes at a fancy meal. Now, if it's in a can, so we have a svar that Rav Soloveitchik felt that anything that comes in a can is not olal shulchan malachim. But let's ignore that svara for the time being. This is going to be a great question on the test, by the way. Like, to give me five reasons, it's going to be awesome. Right? But... But if I give you the questions in advance, it kills all the fun. The point is that another svara to be mekel on Bishul Akum by tuna is the way they cook the fish is they have a big retort that's full of thousands of cans of fish, and then they cook the cans with steam in order to vacuum pack the can. Now, in other words, basically what happens is after they put the fish in the can, there is a concern that maybe there's going to be some bacteria and stuff that will be in the can. So in order to kill it, they shoot hot steam at the can. And that kills all the bacteria and that vacuum packs the canned fish.
And does it cook the...
What?
That's where they cook the fish?
That's how it's cooked.
It's not cooked before then?
It's not cooked before that.
So
if you assume it's cooked in the can.
What?
How do you know this?
I have tests.
You look it up. So if you assume that anything, like this Minchas Yitzchak is saying, that anything that is steamed is not subject to Bishul Akum, we have a kula not only on the milk, but you have a kula on the tuna. We have other possible kulas on the tuna also, but we have to figure it out. By the way, is tuna nechal kemo shuchai? Probably not. Right? Our type of tuna, no one uses it as sushi. Is it ro'oi la'ochlo kemo shuchai, according to Ritva's definition? I don't know. Maybe. Yes?
But clarity. If we're saying that using hot steam to cook is not considered Bishul Akum, then couldn't we say then it's also considered still high?
So that probably not. And there's a raya from the continuation of the Gemara in terms of the case of the fish that was salted by a goy.
We called it
nechal kemo shuchai because... So you're saying it would be nechal kemo shuchai because it's not halachically cooked. That's interesting.
Because
it's not
halachically... You don't necessarily need that heter because it was never cooked. Like you're already saying,
you could use one or the other.
Right, but they'd come together. Like if you hold that steaming isn't cooking, then it doesn't matter. It's not bishul akum because you didn't cook.
Well,
it.
Then if you do cook it,
then and let's say a guy kicks the canned tuna for you.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right, so we could argue that even if a guy would take a can of tuna and cook it for you. Right, so that would still be mutter because after the steaming, it's considered nechal kemo shulchai. I think that sounds correct, actually. Very good, Zoe. Yashkoach. I think that sounds correct. So this is what we wanted to discuss in terms of the heter of nechal kemo shehu chai. Heter of ola al shulchan malachim. So we mentioned that most poskim feel that Shulchan Malachim is lav dafka, hu hadin, any Shulchan shel sarim, any fancy meal, is also considered ole al Shulchan Malachim. And the Rambam in Perek Yudzayin of Macholos Asuros, Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam tells us that the din of ole al Shulchan Malachim is something, she'ikar ha-gezer mishum chasnus, she'lo yizamnu ha'akum etzlo b'se'uda. Right, issue over here is, would I invite you to join me for a meal? Come over, I'm making a party, I'm going to serve something. That's Olal Shulchan Malachim, according to the Rambam. It doesn't have to be a state dinner. Any fancy meal, or any meal that I'd invite guests for, is called Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So based on this, I don't understand what the Star K website says. Let me quote from the Star K website. The White House state dinner policy. The Star K asked the White House executive chef what the White House banquet policy is regarding the use of canned products for state dinners. A specific question was, what is the policy regarding canned cranberry sauce? We also asked whether potato chips are served at state dinners. We'll talk about potato chips in a minute. The chef's response was as follows. We would serve whatever the guest wants. However, we never served potato chips, nor do we ever use canned goods. Everything is prepared fresh. Now, what the Star K is saying is they asked a shayla, a halachic shayla, to the White House executive chef. And the White House executive chef said, we never use canned goods. We make everything fresh. We never use potato chips. L'cha'ora, that shouldn't matter. Because the definition of Ola al Shulchan Malachim should have nothing to do with what a state dinner serves. Ola al Shulchan Malachim should have everything to do with, like the Rambam writes, whether you'd invite people to join you for a meal. It has to be a chash of a food. But does it have to be the most chash of food, some that you serve at state dinner? L'chora, not. And it seems that the Star K, I don't know, it doesn't seem correct to me. Yes?
We said last time, like, the Chazon Ish, his is even, like...
So the Chazon Ish is saying what a king would eat even for breakfast.
Right.
So the Star K is setting Olal Shulchan Malachim over here, and the Chazon Ish is setting it over here, and we're assuming it's probably somewhere in between, right? I would never invite someone over to eat sardines, in part because sardines smell awful and they taste terrible. But besides that, would anyone invite someone to eat sardines?
Did we say anything not of inferior quality?
Anything not of inferior quality. That's the Chazon Ish's definition.
So why are we assuming somewhere in between?
The Rambam is assuming that the definition of Olal Shulchan Malachim is anything that I'd invite people to join me with. Now, there is a big shaila regarding potato chips. Are potato chips subject to the Isser of Bishul Akum? I forgot to bring it, but there's an article in the RJJ Journal, you know, the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, I think like from 5 or 6, no, we have them downstairs in the Beis Medrash, in the back, I think it's like from 5 or 6 years ago, there's an article from somebody who works for the CRC, for Chicago Kashrus. He wrote about whether potato chips are subject to Bishul Akum. It's a very big discussion. The Breuer's K.A.J. Hashgacha, my kids, whenever they are Shabbos Abba or Shabbos Ima in school, the rule in Breuer's is you can only bring in food with a Breuer's Hashgacha or some other Hamish Hashgacha. How do you know this?
At Shabbos.
Yeah. I may have heard it once before.
What?
I may have heard it once before.
On Shabbos.
I spoke about this on Shabbos and... Okay. So, Breuer's policy is that potato chips are subject to Bishul Akum. And the rationale goes as follows. Are potatoes served at Choshev meals?
Yes.
Obviously, no? Mm-hmm. You go to a wedding, you'll have a potato. Hey, what else could you eat at a wedding, no? You eat a potato, right? Potatoes are served at Choshev meals. So if that's the case... So potatoes should be subject to Bishul Akum.
Well, do we say that?
And in fact, some... So you cannot eat a potato raw. No chance.
Unless you say Al-Yedei HaDechak is still... Meaning the Rashba would say it's fine.
No. There's Al-Yedei HaDechak and what the Taz calls Bedochek Gadol Ma'od or something. Like, to eat a potato raw, like you need... first of all, you need like teeth of steel and the stuff tastes awful. Okay, do not try this, but go and buy raw potatoes and eat them.
I have done that before.
What does it taste like?
It's gross.
Why did you do that?
Was it there?
All right.
How much money did you win for this?
Integrity, I don't know.
Pride and glory.
Pride and glory. Okay, now...
Isn't it then not Mishalakam? If we use both Lakula, so then...
Whoa. So again, it's not Nechal Kamo Shulchai, so it should be subject to Bishul Akum for that reason. It is Ola Oshocha Malachim, so it should be subject to Bishul Akum. So what is the heter to eat Y's potato chips? And the Breuer's Kehila only eats Lieber's potato chips, which have not been manufactured in 25 years, and all of them are... If you ever eat, like, really old potato chips, like, new potato chips, like, are crunchy. Old potato chips are, like... Whatever.
Like, what happens to them after 25 years?
I mean, they have a half-life of, like, 9 million years. Potato chips are, like, amazing. So what's the story of potato chips? So there's a chakira that the post can discuss, whether, when they speak about Ola or Shocha Malachim, am I discussing the min or the maichol? Mm-hmm. Meaning, do I look at the type of food in the sense of... what I buy, this species, the min, or do I look at the maichol, the way that it's prepared? One could argue that if Bishul Akum is talay in the min, so then because potatoes are olah shulchan malachim, so potato chips are treif. On the other hand, if it's talay in the maichol, you could say that potato chips are kosher, because this type of potato that is sliced so fine and fried in this way is never going to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Now, what?
Sometimes you define Ola al Shulchan Malachim because, for example, people who throw Super Bowl parties are inviting guests and serving potato chips.
Yeah, so apparently, that's an excellent question. I think what it means is like to invite guests to a meal that's considered somewhat formal. And it's considered a seuda. Is a Super Bowl party a seuda? I don't know. You have like these hoagies that are 16 feet long.
Like on my couch.
It's actually an interesting question. In other words, right? You would invite people to have potato chips. I was also thinking about there's a certain type of salad that my wife makes that like you put chips on the top. Now those are more terra chips than potato chips. But terra chips is just a way of selling a potato chip for three times the price.
Oh, yeah. And we make potato chip chicken when we were, like, really little. And there's potato chips on our chicken.
Right!
So, like, I don't make terra chips to be a
cereal. It doesn't
matter. Like, so fine, even if we're talking about terra chips, like, still.
Right, so if we're talking about terra, are terra chips kosher?
Yeah.
So, it's not pashut. So you have to look in this article in the RGJ Journal, which I should have brought in, but I didn't. Zoe?
I was just going to say, is there a reason to say that because we're evaluating the Hakamo Shuchai according to the min, we say, like, if the min was eaten, because otherwise, I mean, it wouldn't make sense to go according to, like, Maha, you'd say, oh, in this state, when it's cooked, it's obviously...
Correct. So especially with the Ritva's definition, Nechal Kamo Shuchai is certainly based on the Ma'achol and how in it's Ro'oi in theory... does it make sense to say because it's true by Nechal Kamo Shuchai, it's also true by Ola al Shulchan Malachim? Lav Dafka. I don't know.
What do you think would make more? I would think that it makes more sense for Ola al Shulchan Malachim. No, for Machal versus Min.
Well, that's the question that we're asking.
Right.
Can I be Makal on potato chips because the min is not Ola al Shulchan Malachim? So the OU policy regarding potato chips. So first of all, the star case policy is that potato chips are not served as state dinner, therefore it's okay. I don't like that kula. I think it's against the Rambam.
But they're specifically talking then about Malachim. Like they're making that.
Yeah, this is what the star case says. Here, pass it around. Right.
But in the Chakira of Min versus Machal, they're saying that
I don't know if they're saying Min or Machal. They're defining it at a state dinner, and they're saying that this Machal, I guess this.
They can't say they don't serve potatoes. They must have to be saying
that
they don't.
Okay, right. So this Machal is never served at a state dinner. That's correct.
So
So then you could still make the hetzer for potato chips that it's a din in the mafal, and therefore it's just that it's not served at any dinner, not just a steak.
Correct, but is that true? No. So Rabbi Belsky Tainas, that he spoke to caterers. Rabbi Belsky, by the way, was a super genius. He was, like, really, really smart. And he spoke to caterers who make weddings. And they told him that they never put fried potatoes out at a fancy meal. But what they have, you know those potatoes that look like they're fried, that they serve?
Yeah.
They are really cooked, and then after they cook them, they put them in hot oil for a short amount of time. So he says, Rabbi Belsky's argument was that potato chips are not subject to Bishul Akum because fried potatoes, which is potato chips, are never Olal Shulchan Malachim. And the things that look like fried potatoes aren't.
Yeah,
they are cooked potatoes.
That's not wedding food. That's not what plays with our terra chips. And your wife's salad.
Yeah, so apparently, he's assuming that they're taking an approach that a choshev meal is what defines it as olal shulchan malachim, and not just...
But people, like, fry potato wedges. I feel like that's, like, a thing that could be served at, like, a
chush
of a meal.
Fried potatoes. I don't know.
It's not the weird bread ones that are, like, frozen and then refried. But you know what I'm saying? Like, nice, fresh.
Wait, can we get the same super cool, the same kula as cereal?
You get those in a restaurant.
That what?
Meaning, our potato chips are made in huge factories, in the giant factories.
Whoa. So that's the Mahari Tats, who says that there's a kula of palter by Bishul Akum. But we already pointed out that Mahari Tats is not accepted by the poskim. The Ra'ah agrees to it, but it's not accepted lahalacha. We only accept it if it's the type of food that you could not make in your own kitchen to look the same. I can make a potato chip in my own kitchen. I'm not very good with a knife. With the waves, yeah, you have that wavy knife. What's it called? There's a special term for that knife. You can make something that looks like a potato. In fact, on Pesach, on Yom Tov, one day my wife made sweet potato chips.
So that's a chash of a meal, so now how can we eat potato chips?
I don't know.
So,
I'm not supposed to give answers.
Again,
what I'm trying to bring out now, right now we're talking lumdus more than halacha lamaisa. What I'm trying to bring out is that some of the foods that we all eat and love, for example, craisins, for example, potato chips, not azah poshet. It's not so simple that they should not be subject to Bishul Akum. Ask your grandfather. I'm curious what he's going to say.
One of my cousins is one of the head mashgichim at the Star K. I feel like we should allow him.
Which Shmuel Tendler?
His name is Shalom.
Okay. Because Akiva Tendler is at the OU now.
Yeah, he's not a direct cousin. He's
so not
good. He's my grandfather's brother's
cousin. Right. You know, I have a brother-in-law who's a Tendler. You know that.
I don't. Yeah. Did you share?
Off tape. Yeah, we'll discuss it later.
Lamaisa, are there like ever mashgichim that are at any of these factories?
Twice a year, maybe. A large factory, the way the OU gives hashgacha, and the OU is better than other hashgachas, is that you sign a contract that you're only going to allow the following products in your factory. If they ever catch you with any of those products, they can shut your whole factory down. And they'll spot check you once or twice a year just to make sure that you don't have anything that's not on the approved list. And since factories make the same thing, and you want every single dipsy doodle to look like every other dipsy doodle, so you're not going to suddenly add new ingredients to your dipsy doodles. Now, that's the basic svara of industrial kashrus. It's not that complicated. But in terms of Bishul Akum, it's not simple. Because if the food is Ola al Shulchan Malachim, and it's not Nechal Kemoshehu Chai, so then it should be subject to Bishul Akum, and we have a real kasha regarding potato chips. No?
Apparently we don't pass them like the Rambam. And the Star K doesn't.
The Star K doesn't paskin like the Rambam. Okay, so and we're paskining also something along the lines of nifla. We're passing something along the lines of it has to be at a choshev meal, and potato chips are not served at choshev meals.
There's a real question on
terror chips, and it's a real question, again, like your question, whether a Super Bowl party counts as a choshev meal. You know, you would certainly invite people, but it's not a wedding. My guess is that if you look around at all weddings, any of you related or know any caterers?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who do you know?
Wait, you're not.
I'm not related.
Who do you know that's caterer?
Rachel's mom.
Oh, okay, I'm not getting involved in family politics. This
is not related to me.
No, I'm just saying, like, I did not.
So the shilas that we've spoken about so far is in terms of ola al shulchan melachim, whether it's a din in the min or the ma'achal, and that's the potato chip shayla. And then we also spoke about nechal kamoshu chai, which relates to cranberries and relates to milk, etc. Okay, let's go on. The Gemara says that dagim ketan and meluchim don't have bishul akum. Now, why do dagim ketan and meluchim not have bishul akum?
Nechal
kamoshu chai. Right, that's a simple meaning of the Gemara, that they are edible raw, and the reason why they are edible raw is because they were already salted. Who salted them? So Tosfos comments that the Jew salted them, no? Tosfos di Ramaso dagim ketan meluchim, Tosfos says if a guy cooks it after the Jew salted them, the reason why Tosfos is not talking about if a guy salted them is because the Gemara in Amid Beis is going to have a machlokas about whether maliach kiroseach applies to aser stuff for bishul akum. So if the guy salted it, it could be, according to one of the Amoraim, who we do not paskin like, la halacha we paskin that if a guy salted it, does not become aser, but there is an Amora that it does become aser. According to that Amora that it does become aser, so therefore Tosfos does not want to say that the guy salted it. So Tosfos talks about how the Jew salted it. Now, we could have learned this Gemara in a totally different way. We could have learned the Gemara that Dagim Ketan and Meluchim don't have Bishul Akum because the previous Gemara says that Dagim Ketanim, Ardi, and Daisa, what?
They're not Nechal Chai, but they're not.
They are not Nechal Chai, and they are not Ola al Shulchan Melachim. So the previous Gemara said that the Kula is because it is not Ola al Shulchan Melachim. And we could have said that maybe the word Maliach in this Gemara doesn't really mean anything. And the reason why it's not subject to Bishul Akum is because it is not Nechal Kamo Shulchai. I could have learned this entire Gemara as a Raya to the Lashon of Surah as opposed to the Lashon of Pumpadisa. Now, the Rishonim are all bothered by Akasha, which is, I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once had a line to the effect of that one man's reductio ad absurdum is someone else's enochanami, which is like a typical Rav Aaron comment that's like combining different languages and assuming that you're fluent in all of them. But the basic point is the Rishonim are asking this as a kasha. Why do you have to say that the small fish is not subject to Bishul Akum because it's Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai? Say that the small fish are not subject to Bishul Akum because they're not Olal Shulchan Melachim, like the previous Gemara said. No? Isn't that Tosfos' Kasha? The bottom of the Tosfos Dagim Ketanim, Tosfos is bothered. Why are you telling me that small fish is not subject to Bishul Akum? Because it's Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai, because of the salting. I have a better reason. It's not subject to Bishul Akum because it's not Olal Shulchan Melachim. Right? So how does Tosfos answer?
They're not so ketanim.
Tosfos says that we're talking about big, small fish. Right? That's Tosfos' answer. The other answers that are given to this question are what? We know of at least two other answers to this question from the Makoros.
Are ketanim that grow to be gedolim?
So if it's ketanim that grows to be gedolim, the Bach says then it is subject to... No, if it's ketanim that grows to be gedolim, then they are not subject to Bishul Akum. But if it's ketanim that always stays ketanim, then it is subject to Bishul Akum. Meaning, right, sometimes like you go to a meal and they'll serve you a tiny little apple. No, or something. And that's like a fancy thing because it's like so cute. You know the cute little bananas that they sell in Fairway? Like the midget bananas? I think that was like insulting to all bananas. I don't know. But how do we say this? Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like the small fruit can be very cute. And they could... That actually rhymed. But like the small fruit, like, people want to eat it. So if it's meant to be small, then it is olal shulchan aruchim. But if something is supposed to grow big, it's a different min. No? What the Bach seems to be saying is more along the lines that of a different min. A min of fish that can go big, that can grow big, so then it is not olal shulchan malachim. But if it's a min of fish that stays small, so then it will be olal shulchan malachim. That's the Bach's answer.
And therefore we were talking about the...
And when our Gemara says Dagim Ketanim, it don't mean the same thing as when the previous Gemara said Dagim Ketanim. The previous Gemara is talking about fish that could grow big, and our Gemara is talking about fish that are small and remain small. We also saw in the a Rashash. I gave you guys a Rashash to look at in the Makoros, no? First, the Rashash gives another answer, which is that maybe it won't be olal shulchan malachim just as a raw fish, but once it's salted, maybe it would be olal shulchan malachim. So that's why we have to come on to the nechal kamo shulchai idea. And then he writes, v'li nira l'chalik be'mevushalim l'tzluyin v'hocha mayri b'tzluyim. So I think what the Rashash is saying at the end is that a roasted small fish is olal shulchan malachim, but a cooked small fish isn't. Okay, b'kitzer hama'aseh, whatever it is, there is a whole discussion in this Gemara among the Rishonim regarding the fish and whether it's olal shulchan malachim or not, regarding the small fish. If you would have asked me, I would have begun the sardine conversation from this Taisus, right? But the Chazon Ish just like kind of skirted the whole thing and says, what does the King of England eat for breakfast? But the point of the Bach is still interesting, no? That the King of England would presumably not eat for breakfast a small fish that could grow big, because then it would be inferior quality. Good.
Well, wait, didn't we just say that sometimes it's fancier?
That what?
Like, it's only going to grow that big.
I think
if,
so.
If they stay small, then they're nice.
Right.
Then the Gemara says, "I avdinhu akum kasa daharsana is osir." If you make it into kasa daharsana. What's kasa daharsana?
Like a casserole.
Casserole.
Like a fish casserole. It sounds so disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Like you take the... Right? Rashi gives you like the whole recipe over here.
Casserole.
Right?
You cook the flour in fish fat.
In fish fat, right? With you cook the fish fat in flour, and then you eat it. So in that case, it's usser. What?
We're waiting for the next step. The next step was eating it.
I think tigain bumurayis shuman dogin im kemach. Right? But it sounds like you fry it together.
Yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Delicious. Right? And the Gemara says that the reason why it's usher is because kimcha ikar, which means that it's primarily flour. Even though the small fish would not be subject to Bishul Akum, but when it's mixed with the flour rules, and therefore it is going to be usser. Now, what you see from here is that kasa daharsana is olal shulchan malachim. No? Kasa Dasna is Ola Shachma. Hi, Michal. How are you?
Yeah, my question was, is that Kimcha Iker? Do we mean Iker as in, like, majority or, like...
significant. So comes along the Mitzvah Eson in the back of the Gemara, and the Mitzvah Eson says that the author of this Gemara is Rav Yosef. No? Is it Rav Yosef or somebody? I think it's Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef is the opinion that Kol Sheyesh B'Mechameshas Haminim is going to be a Bracha Borei Minei Mizonos. Meaning that whenever I have any flour mixed into a dish, we assume that that flour creates an ikker.
Was it just there for the binding?
If it's there just as devek ba'alma, so then it's not. But if it's there to contribute some flavor, then it becomes a mizonos.
So ikker would be of any significance.
So according to the Mitzvah Eson's understanding of this Gemara, ikker over here means the same as halachic ikker and tofel in Inyanei Brachos. And what the Mitzvah Eson is doing is he is giving us an application of Hilchos Brachos to Hilchos Bishul Akum, which is something that we already had once before in our youth. Mm-hmm. What's the other case that we had an application of Hilchos Brachos to Hilchos Bishul Akum? Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. From Monday?
Huh?
From Monday?
From Monday, yes. Tysus on Lamed Aleph on the base. I find this amazing. I say Tysus on Lamed Aleph on the base, you're all going back to your notes. Look at the Tysus!
No, it was about the beer.
About beer. And what did Tysus say about beer? How come beer?
There's kua in it, but it's not
beer. Tosfos in this first opinion of Tosfos is that beer is not olal shulchan melachim. The second opinion of Tosfos is that beer is olal shulchan melachim, but it's not subject to the rules of Bishul Akum zok Tosfos because it's butl, just like beer is a shahakol and it's not a borei minei mizonos. By the way, you should look. Rabbi Rosenzweig has an article that he wrote in the book Yevol HaYovlos on the yeshiva's 100th anniversary in 1986. So, Rabbi Rosenzweig, the yeshiva put out a sefer that every Rosh Yeshiva, who was Rosh Yeshiva in 1986, wrote an article for that, called the Yevol HaYovlos. So Rabbi Rosenzweig's article in that sefer is about the Brach of Shahakol. And over there, he has a razzle-dazzle approach to this Tosfos. His understanding is that what Tosfos really means is that the Brach of Mizonos cannot apply to beverages. It's like a slightly different take. It's not saying bittel in the formal sense. But, be it as it may, what Tosfos is saying on Lamed Aleph is that I can take the rules of Hilchos Brachos and apply them to Hilchos Bishul Akum. And the Mitzvah Eson is saying exactly the same thing over here. He's saying that Kamash Malon Kimcha Iker means that, oh, if it's Iker in Inyanei Brachos, so therefore it's Iker also in Bishul Akum. Then Tosfos adds, based on this, that there are these foods called Knuyish and Obliyish. What are Knuyish and Obliyish? What?
Is it a knish?
Yes,
no,
pretty much.
No, that wasn't me. I didn't know that. But I was told that it was a knish.
Who told you?
I don't know.
Yeah, and you have to, by the way, how do you find out what these French words mean?
Oh, that's French?
Knish. It like sounds exactly the same.
So you look in the back of your Gemaras, you should have something called the Hamitar game somewhere. The Hamitar game's job is to translate all of the French words into Yiddish. It's completely useful because what do you have it somewhere in the back, the Hamitar game? You should have should be like a couple of pages. It's like translate into Yiddish and they give it to you in easy Hebrew also. You found it.
Yeah.
So mine is on page 28. It's just like after the Goyon Nahar Shah.
rush. Right before the rush.
I have never
met. Hmm. Rush is at the
rush. Okay. Actually, he doesn't. Oh, Knuyish and Obliyish. So he writes. Oh, you could figure it out from the Yiddish, actually. The Tamar, let's see if you could figure it out. The trick to reading Yiddish is that an ayin is an eh.
I don't
say it. Where is this? Kamash Malon, Knutish V'Ubliyish.
What?
So what's Knutish V'Ubliyish? What does he write?
Suker
Bakery. What does Suker Bakery mean? Baked sugar stuff. Right? Ma'afeh. Matak.
That's helpful.
Right, that's much more helpful. It's like sweet baked stuff. So basically, these are, Rabbeinu Tam says that Knuyish and Obliyish are mutter because there's no concern. Basically, what this is a baked good that has eggs. And what Tysus is telling you is that you don't have to worry that the eggs are treif. Now, there are two ways that eggs could be treif. An egg could be treif because there is a blood spot in it. Now, our blood spots in eggs are fakes. You see, the blood spots that Chazal were worried about in eggs is that the egg was fertilized and is beginning to develop into a chick, and therefore it has the din of a sheretz. That's called sheretz ha'if. Sheretz ha'of is that the egg is beginning to be fertilized. It's like a teeny little baby bird inside. In our chicken farms, there are no males present. Therefore, none of your eggs could potentially be fertilized. If you get free-range eggs, or some organic eggs, so then they could be fertilized. And then you really have to check them for blood spots.
And then you shouldn't make hard-boiled eggs.
So there, we'll read the Rosh Simon Chof Tess in a second. Then you should not make hard-boiled eggs, correct? The Raya, that we are not really worried about blood spots, right? For us, for sure, it's not a problem. Because we have no males. Tysfus is talking about chickens that come from places that there are males around. But Zuck Tysfus, he could still make a hard-boiled egg. Because, he says, Rove Beitzim Shalanu Ein Bohem Dam. There's a very small minority of eggs that have blood spots in them, which are chicks. And you can rely on Rove to eat a hard-boiled egg. Even in a place where there are males around. That is what emerges from Tosis as elaborated on by the Rush here. So even a free-range egg, you can hard-boil. Halacha l'maisa, right? I could hard-boil free-range egg because Tosa says I rely on Rove. Now, there's another concern.
That they come from treifos.
That the egg comes from a treif bird. Maybe it's an egg from a parrot or an ostrich.
Oh, I thought they meant treifos like the chicken had a hole in its lung.
So if the chicken would have a hole in its lung, that would also create a problem. The assumption that Chazal have is that treifa ino yeledes. So if it has a hole in its lung, it's not going to drop eggs anymore.
We had that on
Daf
Noach.
Daf Hey. Daf Hey and Avodah Zarah. Very good. And that's worth like an extra winky. Okay? Bishak. But Tosis basically says that we eat the Rush understands Tosis that we eat hard-boiled eggs and we're not worried about dam because it's not shchiach. What about beitzei of tummy? Maybe it comes from a parrot. Maybe it comes from an ostrich. Maybe it doesn't come from a kosher species. So Tosis says that's also not shchiach, no? Basically, what Tosis is saying is that our eggs, the blood is not shriach, and there's no concern of beitzei of tamei. That's also not matzoi beineinu. And the only concern is Bishul Akum, so for that we'll say Kimcha Iker, and as it didn't pass. So therefore you can eat your Kanuyish, which we now know are Tzucker bakeries. Right? Sugar-baked goods is going to be Mutter Zaktaisvis. Now, obviously, these things all depend on countries, no? If you live in a country where they use lard as the shortener, there's no heter. No, my friend, Belgian man, was the rabbi in Strasbourg. He was with me in Smicha here. We called him Belgian man. I don't remember his name, actually. That's just what we called him. And when he was the rabbi in Strasbourg, so some people from my shul wanted to go. Did I tell you about this? They wanted to go to France on trips, and they wanted to eat some of the bread from the fine French bakeries. And l'cha'ura pasakum is mutter if you're an Ashkenazi. It's like, there's no problem, right? Even if you're a Sephardi, you can't get good bread. Right, it's pas palter, shel akum, it should be heter gomer. So I called Belgian man and I asked him, what's the story? So he told me that like a lot of the rural bakeries in France use lard as a shortener.
Oh, no.
Then you're in trouble. Right?
Yeah.
You have to, again, like a lot of these issues are just metzius. You have to just know what's going on. Okay, chevra. So I think we have, I didn't get to the Tosfos at the bottom, which I wanted to get to on the Ritva. So, Old Chazon Lemoed, Mir Sashem, we can do that Monday. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you for coming uptown. I would say enjoy Yom HaShoah, but I think that totally goes against what you're supposed to say. Okay, thank you for coming.